This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go. Dare I say it's a little warm in here?
We need to do the show from outside.
Feels like we are.
I have the zoomies.
What are the zoomies?
That is something that dog owners say when their dog gets all excited and runs in circles like crazy.
And cats do it too. But this weather gives me the zoomies. Oh my gosh, I'm so happy.
Oh, it's perfect. Can we pull up some of the blinds in here?
I will pull up one of them. Harsh light on my computer, but I will tell you, on my way in, I stopped and sat on the sidewalk outside and just laid there. Had someone been driving by, dare I say they might have called 911 because I looked maybe...
Was it indecent?
Like I was in need of assistance.
Had you been driving by, would you have called 911?
Probably.
Okay.
I was so excited.
Well, she would call 911 if somebody threw a... cigarette butt out a window.
Would not. Anyway, it is what, 78? What is it, Dan? Feels like 92?
It's hot. I think it's like 73 degrees.
Current temperature is 67 in the shade in Mission.
I whipped out the old no-sock shoes today for the first time this year.
Dana, tell the world what I am wearing today.
It looks like flip-flops, and you know those are going to be here to stay.
Oh, the dogs are out.
Just blinded me.
They'll get tan soon enough. Don't worry, Dan.
Why can't I count your blood vessels?
What?
You're so pale, you're clear.
Okay.
No one is going to upset me or get in my head today. I got up super early, went to go see Dr. Tegg, shameless plug, left and got some sunshine, went and ran some errands, and then today's Acupuncture Friday.
Oh!
So this is the day you could just come up and punch me in the face, and I hope that you don't, and I probably won't have much of a reaction. I'm that happy, except that we have breaking news. I got a text right before I go on the show. Mm-hmm. You know Carrie is one of the hidden producers of this program.
Correct.
And the news that she leveled upon me for Northern Johnson County, I'm going to need you to all be sitting down. Dare I say she might be calling in. That's how important this news is. She sends a screenshot to me and to Libby and says, and I quote, you ready for this? This is a very dark day. Followed by worst day ever, which is puzzling because it's so gorgeous out. If you go to the Johnson County Post right now, Scott, our favorite little newspaper, apparently one of the longest standing, most popular restaurants in the history of this town.
Dare I say iconic?
Is no more.
Mm-hmm.
Is no more. If you live in the old 66208, we're going to have a candlelight vigil tonight. Because the Prairie Village Burrito, as we know it, is dead.
Carrie, are you going to survive the day?
I don't know. What are we talking about?
Where do I get my Prairie Village Burrito?
Oh, God. I'm so sad. It's like the worst news ever.
The Salty Iguana in Prairie Village is closing?
No, it's not closing.
It's closed.
Closed.
Like, yeah, was there five minutes ago and now is not. And apparently, is Bill Self not doing his shows there? Clearly not anymore.
I don't know. My Uber Eats driver is going to be so confused. Because it's my go-to. Isn't that awful?
Carrie, what I'm reading here is that, quote, assets were seized. Like maybe people went in. There's like a big pink thing on the door.
The sign on the door says seized.
They seized the door?
That would mean somebody failed to pay taxes or enough taxes.
To the tune of $100,000.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
And by somebody, I mean Salty Iguana.
Well, thank you, Sam.
Well, now I want to be clear. There's more than one location around town, but the iconic, the original, is the Prairie Village. It's called the Prairie Village Burrito.
I used to have lunch there with legendary Kansas City broadcaster Mike Murphy back in the day.
It's a staple in this neighborhood.
Not just the one in PV. Text line says they tried to go to the lunch at the one in Lawrence. Same sign.
Let me look.
No.
This is where, and honestly, Carrie, this is where they do the kickoff to KU's, I believe, at least football season, if not basketball season, every year. Every year in the parking lot, there's a huge KU party. The Baby Jay and the Jayhawk mascot come out. The cheerleaders, the band, always out in front of Salty Iguana.
Corinth Square hosts it, but Prairie Village, the Salty Iguana there is like, everyone goes there.
This just in from Olathe. Yes. The Salty Iguana in Olathe also closed.
By the way, from the Lawrence Journal World, Salty Iguana, a longtime restaurant in West Lawrence, closes in Lawrence as state seizes assets.
Wow.
They got them all.
They Leona Helmsley did? Kara, where are you? I don't even know where you are. Are you at the Masters yet?
No, I'm at Lee Wolf's dog park.
Okay, good. Because your phone always comes in Atlanta and I get nervous.
Yeah, no, definitely not at the Masters yet. That's not for another month.
All right, you had me worried there for a minute. Okay, well, you go on about your day. It is gorgeous outside, but we had to break the news here first.
Gorgeous. I'm sorry I was the one to tell you. Yeah. I hate to be the
bearer. You and your damn producer credits.
Carrie, if they have closed the one in Lawrence, Olathe, and Prairie Village, dare I say, you have eaten at the Salty Iguana for the last time.
No.
Yes.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that. And they're going to make a comeback.
Okay. Pretty sure I just saw someone hauling like cash registers out of there. I'm not so sure, Care.
All right.
Goodbye.
Fine.
Okay, love you.
Goodbye.
Love you. Bye.
There is a location on 40 Highway in Independence, Missouri.
Yes.
Closed.
Oh.
They got them all.
Okay. How bad does it have to be that you did one fell swoop, the whole thing collapses?
You owe $100,000 in taxes. The government gets what they want.
And as we talked about, when I believe it was the Social in Shawnee had the same issue. Now, they have since reopened.
Good.
But they had the same issue a couple of weeks back. And we had a number of tax experts or people who claim to be tax experts calling in and saying, this isn't just a mistake. You don't just accidentally miss a payment or two when this happens. Wait. This is a months-long process drop the hammer.
To need someone to explain something to me. Because while $100,000 is a lot of money to you and it is a lot of money to me, for a successful restaurant group of restaurants, whether it's
apparently not
Salty Iguana or something else, like $100,000 just isn't that much money. Is it $100,000 per store?
Nope. $100,000 is a corporation.
That is not a lot, no.
Would they not just make that in a weekend, Sam?
In theory, yes. But we also have to keep in mind that the profit margins in the restaurant business are so incredibly slim that if they've had anything recently that was a hiccup, you know, additional costs for replacing tile flooring, or I'm just throwing out random things here, that would put them in a very dire situation monetarily. You still got to pay your taxes.
And if you're not paying them, and let's say, and we don't know this, let's say it's been going on for a handful of years where you're just not paying taxes, the government starts to think you have no intention
of paying taxes. Let's say there's eight locations or whatever there are.
There's at least four.
Okay, let's say four.
No more.
So that means $25,000 per location. That would be the equivalent of you or I owing the IRS like $500. There's got to be more to this story. You don't shut down an entire chain of local restaurants, all of them, over $100,000, do you? I'm not saying I don't think that's a lot of money. If it was you or me, that is a devastating, like you're probably going to prison if you owe the IRS $100,000. But for a massively successful business?
It is possible, I would guess. And I've never owed back taxes to the government. I always pay my taxes. My guess would be this is the government's way of saying, hey, we're not screwing around. And let's be honest, Salty Iguana is probably going to reopen at some point. But what the government is saying is we're not screwing around. You owe us $100,000. You have shown no interest in paying it. Start paying it or we will lock these doors forever.
I thought there was no one left at the IRS. This is who we're going after, the Prairie Village Burrito. Really?
By the way, the text line is disagreeing with a previous texter who said the Independence location is closed as well. I have reached out for comment from the Independence location. That phone line is not connected.
Okay.
Typically not a good sign when you call a restaurant.
Usually not.
And you say, this number is not available.
By the way,
cannot be completed
on Facebook, and this I thought was an original idea. It is not. RIP Prairie Village Burrito is trending.
Okay. 913-586.
The phones are ringing.
Of course. It's a beloved institution.
Okay, but what happens if you work there? Are you going to get paid? What about all the servers?
No.
Yes.
We're not bringing in any money. We're not giving out any money.
Now, you can take them to court, but obviously they don't have a whole lot of money to pay their taxes.
Are kids that allegedly. That's why the phones are ringing.
I'm not disputing that, but Kansas is a right-to-work state.
Those are kids who work there, Scott.
I understand that, Dana. 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. So a source of ours says that the independent Salty Iguana is still open. The ones that we know have been seized, literally the word they're using on the door, is the Salty Iguana in Prairie Village. I believe that's the original and probably the most iconic. And the Salty Iguana in Lawrence, according to the Lawrence Journal World. Let me read this very quickly.
Yeah.
From the text line, if they are having tax issues, it is most likely not with the IRS. They would be sales tax issues, not remitted to the state. And to your point, Texter, and you're right, the Johnson County Post says the state of Kansas has seized the Salty Iguana. That might explain why the one in Independence
is still open. Okay, but follow me here. If, in fact, it is one owner, I mean, that's an iconic brand. Let's say there are four restaurants, or I don't know how many there are. If, in fact, it is one owner, why would you not leverage the other locations to save the original iconic location? Why wouldn't you at least save the Lawrence location? Well, you know what I'm saying? You don't want to shut down any of them. But if you were going to keep one, you would keep the Lawrence or the Prairie Village store.
And maybe they will. But right now, the ones in Prairie Village and Lawrence have been seized by the state. So then it would take a couple of days to leverage the one in Independence to keep the one in Prairie Village and maybe the one in Lawrence.
I'm going to tell you this. You do not ever want to come home or to your business and see that gigantic pink sign that is on that door. It's sort of like that sign on Hoarders where they have decided there is so much feces inside there that it is not habitable. Mm-hmm. And you get that angry pink thing. This sign is huge. And it just says in huge black bold letters, seized.
Let's go to line two. Ann in Kansas City. Ann, hello.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Go ahead.
I've actually worked there for quite some time. And yeah, it was quite the shock walking into seeing that sign.
Were police there when you arrived?
They were not when I arrived.
Okay.
Who was there?
Well, I actually went in. I got the text message that we were closed. So a few of us went in there just to
see.
We didn't go in there. We weren't allowed to go in there, but nobody was there.
Did they like
physically take anything? Are there booths still inside
or chain the door?
They changed the locks.
Oh,
wow.
And we were told that we couldn't go in at all, of course. Yeah. And I had called the number that was on the seized sign.
So what happens
today?
Go ahead.
They said today at one was anytime after one, we would have to go to the landlords to get any of our personal belongings.
How many branches of Salty Iguana are there? We know about Independence, Olathe, Prairie Village, Lawrence. Are there others?
No. Olathe actually closed 4 months ago.
Okay, so there's only three.
Only three. Independence is still open, as far as I know.
There was somebody who wrote in on the text line, tell me if this is true or not, that employees of Salty Iguana have had their checks bounce lately. Have you found that to be true? I'll take that as a yes.
Oh, Anne, I am so sorry. It was one of the first things we asked, what happens to all of the workers?
We're wondering the same thing.
Can you put a general amount of money on what you are out up to this point?
So our checks actually have been going through for the past like month and a half. So we all thought everything was fine. Like we went through, you know, the things that checks bouncing and all that. And then it started getting better. So we thought everything was fine. So this like really came to a shock to all of us because we thought it was okay.
Where's the problem? I mean, the text line is right. Say what you will about the food at Salty Iguana, but they have an incredible happy hour, or used to at least. I don't go to bars anymore, but had an incredible happy hour. Money had to be pouring in.
Right.
So where's the problem?
That we don't know. That's what we want to know, too. Like, we don't know.
Oh, and will you keep us posted, even anonymously? You know how to get a hold of Sam. Just let us know what happens. I'm so sorry for everyone who works there.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep. Hang in there.
All right, be well. Thank you. All right, 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798.
They will change the locks. That is what happens when you are seized.
The state does, yeah. When you owe $100,000 in back taxes, yeah. And that is why the one in Independence stays open. Prairie Village and Lawrence remain closed. Let's see here. The Lawrence location seized the day after the Prairie Village location failed to pay $103,204 in sales and liquor drink taxes to Douglas and Johnson counties.
Counties want their money.
Well, so does the state, clearly, or they'll shut you down. But, I mean, to say that this is one of the iconic restaurants in the Kansas City area might almost be an understatement.
It's just been around forever.
It would be the equivalent of like Tanner's.
Coach's show there.
That is correct. I know.
You couldn't get a seat. And if you could, you had to wait. I mean, you'd have to wait an hour.
Did he do it at the Salty Iguana in Lawrence or here in Prairie Village?
Oh, for years it was here.
Huh. He's set up in the back corner right by the patio.
Okay. Pop star Katy Perry and journalist Gayle King, also Lauren Sanchez, who is the fiance of Jeff Bezos, are set to blast off into space on a Blue Origin rocket, marking the first all-female flight crew in more than six decades. The new Shepard rocket, a 59-foot-tall spacecraft, will carry the crew to the Kármán line, the internationally recognized boundary of space. Passengers will experience a few minutes of microgravity before returning to the Earth. The company has not disclosed a date for that mission. We have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news, the airing of the grievances. That is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fixed today at Q39KC.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
I want to talk to my business owners out there. Not the one necessarily in Prairie Village or Lawrence
wow.
right now.
Wow.
But this has been in the stack for a couple of days, and I want to talk about anyone who runs a home-based business. That can mean a lot of things. Mm-hmm. It covers, you might have a salon in your basement because you cut hair out of your house. That is a home-based business.
You could sell on Etsy or eBay or stuff like
Theoretically,
that.
Theoretically.
Yeah.
And on up to the sky we go. It could be anything, right? Mm-hmm. Topeka city officials, along with other local Kansas governments, are expressing concern about a proposed state bill that would significantly limit the ability of cities to regulate home-based businesses, essentially warning that it could lead to issues with noise, traffic, and overall neighborhood quality if it is not properly managed. And before we get into this story, I want to know, and text us if you know, how is it managed now? If you run a business out of your home, are you not allowed to have a client's car park in front of your house? Like, how are cities regulating this now?
I don't know.
So Topeka and other cities are pushing back against this bill, arguing it would remove necessary local control over home-based businesses, potentially causing disruptions to residential areas. Concerns include increased noise level, excessive traffic from customers visiting home businesses.
What would be the noise? What would be the increased noise issue?
It depends on what your home-based business is.
Well, I mean, if it's that kind of business, there might be a noise issue, but that would be illegal anyway.
Proponents argue, supporters, that it reduces unnecessary red tape and promotes economic growth by making it easier for people to start a small business from home. Now, I do a couple of little things on the side. So do you, Scott. A lot of people in this industry do.
None from home
for
me, though.
It would be considered for me, it would sort of be considered home, more laptop-based than home-based when I go and do my legacy recording interviews. But it is theoretically based from, it's not based here. I don't have anywhere else to base it.
Well, but like my sister-in-law, for example, down in Wichita, runs, she owns a very small t-shirt printing business.
Yes.
Out of her basement.
That's who we need to ask.
So, for example, she has a little t-shirt printing press, if you will, just down the in the basement to the left of the stairs. And it takes up, it is what would be, if you had a bar in your basement, that's where she runs her, it's in the bar in my brother's basement.
Okay.
And she prints, you know, X number of t-shirts per month for, and they're very specific. They're like for family reunions or, you know, bachelorette parties or whatever. And her clients will say, hey, we want to have on the front, you know, Tanya's bachelor party. Oh, we're going to hell on the front. And she'll print up 20 of those. And she'll leave them in a bag on the front.
Right.
You Venmo her.
Yep.
She puts a brown bag with all the t-shirts on the front porch. And you swing by and pick them up when she says they're ready. So maybe once a day, give or take, a car might drive up to my brother's house.
Yeah.
Stop for 2 minutes, pick up their brown bag of t-shirts, and drive off.
Well, this is my friend who owns Annie's Barn. She is a maker. And while she does have, you know, brick and mortar spots where she does sell stuff, she would sell stuff from time to time. I would be able to go pick it up on the porch. There would be one or two bags on the porch. But help us even on the text line understand what would be an example of a home-based business outside of a daycare, which is should be heavily regulated because you're watching children. Outside of a daycare, give me an example of a home-based business where you would have noise and traffic.
Well, but keep in mind,
what am I missing?
With a home-based daycare, I believe the max that you can have per person, per adult in the house is 4 kids, if I'm not mistaken. So you're looking at 4 cars pulling up at sometime between 7 and 8:30 in the morning.
Okay.
And 4 cars pulling up between 4:30 and 6 at night.
Well, but keep in mind, though, with the NIMBY crowd, the noise and the traffic is not necessarily bumping music or something that's even going to be even remotely disrupting your day.
So give me another example of something that would, Sam. If you open a small... They even regulate how many chickens you can have.
Well, that's what I'm saying. With the NIMBY crowd, they're looking at it and saying, we talked about the nosy neighbors yesterday. Why did you have three cars that I didn't recognize stop by your... I mean, it's not that they actually are being disrupted by this. They just want to complain to complain.
913-586-7798. Mike in Topeka, 586-7798. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
So I think a perfect example of this would be my small business, a welding and fabricating shop.
Okay.
And, you know, on paper, when you think welding and fabricating, you can think, oh, that would be extremely problematic in a neighborhood because you've got cutting and grinding and the fumes from welding and painting and, you know, all that stuff would be very problematic in a neighborhood. However, my business, we specialized in on-site mobile welding. So all my work was done at the customer's facility, whether it's an apartment complex or a strip mall or a factory or something like that, not at my home. So even though on paper, you know, I'm a welding fabrication shop, I don't do any work out of the house. It's all done on site. And so for this would be extremely problematic for me because I don't need to have a shop because I don't do work in a shop.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Makes perfect sense.
So, yeah, I would be, you know, this would be very concerning for me because I still want to be able to run my business and operate and do what I do from home and be able to do the actual work on site.
Huh.
All right, Mike.
Real quick.
Thanks, guys.
A prime example of what could be a disruptive home-based business, but we're already seeing regulations all over with this, is the Airbnb, where you are using your home as the home-based business. But we have separate regulations
different.
All over for that now.
That's different. Here's an example. When I used to know somebody I don't know anymore, she would take her car for oil changes or repairs to a person's home in Turner, in KCK.
Okay.
He was a mechanic Monday through Friday at a business.
Okay, but a home-based mechanic moonlighted
on Saturday and Sundays.
Okay, I could... Here's one. Personalized education support, tutoring.
That's one person.
I know, but that's what I'm trying. I'm trying to come up with a home-based business outside of an Airbnb where you're going, oh, man, I don't want that next door.
Here's one for noise. A private music teacher. When I was a kid, we were living in Fort Hood, Texas.
Okay.
And my mom wanted me, or I wanted to learn guitar. And so she took me to a private music instructor in Killeen, Texas.
Yeah.
And she taught me how to play guitar. Barely. I mean, I was like 10, right? But she also taught piano, trumpet, trombone, and tuba.
At the same time in the garage?
No, this was in the home, but she knew how to play all five of those instruments.
Yeah, what are you going to tell me? I can't play my own drums in my living room because it's too noisy for you? That would be no different if I were teaching somebody to play drums in my living room.
Here's the other thing. Mike, and maybe I misunderstood him, made it sound like this would be bad for him. It's the flip of that. It would actually be good. Let me read this again. Topeka and other local governments are expressing concern about the proposed state bill that would limit a city's ability to regulate the home-based business.
Let's go to Russ in Shawnee. Russ, hello.
Hey there. How are you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, so I was just going to touch base because I run a pet sitting business out of my home as well as a pet pantry. So, you know, I basically just put everything out on the front of my door in like a little rack. And I have just a camera bell that shows everybody coming and going. And if they drop donations off, I can tell. So it alleviates any noise. But the other thing is with boardings in my home, there's noise, you know. So I live in an apartment complex and, you know, dogs have a tendency to bark. So, you know.
Wait, hang on, boss. You run a pet sitting business out of your apartment?
Kind of. I mean, I do most of my house sittings at people's houses, but I have clients that will drop their cat off for a sitting at my house where I take care of them in my home.
Okay.
Or a dog, you know, from time to time.
And they make noise? Do your neighbors complain?
Nope. I never get complaints, but I do have, there's been time from time that I come home and I can hear the dog barking from the third floor, and I'm like, oh boy, I hope I don't get a complaint.
All right, man. Russ, thank you for the call, buddy. Jeff in Lee's Summit. Jeff, hello.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Good. Love you guys. You guys do an awesome job.
Thank you.
Are seriously one of my favorites. I was in radio for about 15 years. I'm friends with a lot of people, a lot of DJs, not to mention anybody that's been inappropriately touched by Dana. But, you know, that's besides the point.
Okay.
But I have a neighbor that has a landscaping company, and he brings all of his down trees, all of his equipment, all of the bushes and thing that could possibly come out of yards, now sits right next door to me. And, you know, I look out the window and it's literally like it's a waste pile all the time.
Does it bother you?
He's a good guy. I get cheap labor from him.
So it doesn't bother you that much.
Well, you know, but it is. I mean, it's definitely something that is, you know, the city has come by and said, you know, hey, you know, even though your home office is out of here, this isn't a place for, you know, for all of your everything. If that makes sense.
But even then, Jeff, that is just a violation of a regular ordinance as somebody who lives in a city. I mean, in Overland Park, you can't have a wheelbarrow up against the side of your home.
Correct.
And so it's just a violation of city ordinance.
So how does he bypass that and have his business out of his house and still...
The answer is asking for forgiveness and not permission.
Jeff, your voice sounds very familiar. Have we met?
Probably. Huh. Yeah, maybe. You know, maybe a media mix or two. Who knows?
Okay. Who is Dana violating? Do you remember?
Certain gentleman named Johnny.
Last name Dare?
That's actually accurate.
Yeah. Johnny and I go way, way back. So, yeah, we giggle about that every once in a while.
He is a lovely human. And I will tell you, really I saw him in the parking lot the other day with his puppy dog. And I think I gave him a hug, but I did not touch his guns in any way.
You resisted the urge.
I did.
But Jeff, I want to tell you, I was an eyewitness to said assault, and even I was offended.
Well,
I was there.
When we discussed it the last time, because I heard you guys talking about it, I literally reenacted it the best I could.
Oh, great.
And he was uncomfortable. So,
yeah,
you know.
Clearly.
Thank you, Jeff.
Probably gave him a flashback.
That poor man alone.
Right?
Be well, brother. Take care.
Hey, guys. Have a good job.
We'll wrap it up with Jim in North Topeka. Hello, Jim.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hey, we live out north of town, out in the country, and there's a gentleman rented a farmhouse and had canine training, and most of his business were training attack dogs. And the property wasn't fenced.
Okay. Also illegal then, Jim, at the point that you're training attack dogs.
But they're not in the city. They're in the county.
And I was told, make sure you have all your stuff in order before you file a complaint, because they're tied in to various law enforcement, and that gentleman owns the business, can make your life very difficult.
I'll be doing.
We had friends and family that refused to come to the house, or some would, but wouldn't bring their children or grandchildren.
Do you blame them? Do you blame them?
No.
No,
Jim, it sounds like you
not,
were threatened.
We never spoke. I was scared to go over. I looked out one day, and there's a German Shepherd hanging off this gentleman's arm that had the big dog training
thing on
it. So that's one business. The printing shop, not a big deal. That was very unnerving. And he was a renter.
Yeah. Jim, thank you for the call. I'm moving to the country. Did I tell you that? We're actually moving to the country.
You're going to eat you a lot of peaches?
Sam, I don't know who she is.
I might get a chicken. I'm you know.
What about a goat? Why not get a goat?
I don't know if we'll have time,
you
Scott.
You can milk the goat.
Get a peeing goat with jeans.
Mm-hmm. We've already had one of those.
I have nipples. Can you milk me?
What'd you just say?
I have nipples. Can you milk me?
I'm not going to answer that question.
Well, I can't use the name he used in the show because it starts with an F and sounds like a word that is a bad word.
Let's
you
not.
You can use his first name, Greg.
I've got nipples, Greg. Can you milk me?
I'm not going to answer that question. 913-586.
I feel uncomfortable.
Try being in this
one
room.
Of Robert De Niro's greatest lines of all time.
She's looking me dead in the eye when she says that. How do you think I feel? 913-586-7798. I'm not going to give the location, but when she says she's moving to the country, she's interested in a piece of property in the city that has a larger yard than normal.
You could say it's a larger lot size.
But that's not moving to the country.
Well, I
could have a horse.
I do have some questions for you.
Yeah.
Because you have been touting this new no-maintenance lifestyle.
Yep.
As you live in an apartment, mm-hmm. you park in the garage.
Don't have to mow the grass.
Don't have to mow. Don't have to take care of it. You do realize that you're throwing all of that to the wind if you move to the, air quotes, country.
The country, which is literally buffered by city after city around it.
I have.
I mean, you're going to be mowing like 4 days a week.
No, you might want to get a rider.
I have an affinity for prairie grass. Just going to let it go. Because
I
know
think
what?
The city would have a problem with
out
that.
Out of the country, no one cares.
Because no. You're not in the country. You're actually in a city. They are going to have an issue if you grow the prairie grass.
It's native.
You're going to get a noxious weed warning.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
If not, Sam and I are going to fake one and put it on your door.
There will be a time to talk about it. I hope. I really do. I really do hope soon that there is a time, and I will share with you my plan.
And then she told me, Sam, she's getting her hair done on Monday, and she's coming in blonde.
No, don't get me. I get highlights every 3 months. You know that. This is nothing different.
You said I'm coming in blonde.
Well, it's going to be lighter because Scott said, did you notice my haircut? And I said, I did. And
nice,
I said, I'm going to warn you, I'm getting mine chopped and colored over the weekend.
And I'm coming in blonde.
Ain't none of us getting any younger on this show.
The Vatican is reporting that Pope Francis suffered a sudden breathing problem today, aspirated vomit, and needed ventilation. Oof.
There's been a lot of breaking news today. Do we also have an update on the Gene Hackman situation?
Yes. Hang on.
I understand they're now waiting for toxicology. But, mm-hmm. Sam, I thought you shared some news that just muddied the waters even further out in the newsroom.
What pills were found?
Yes.
So it was blood pressure medication and Tylenol. So his wife, I can't remember her name off the top of
Betsy.
My head. Thank you. Was found in the bathroom, and investigators believe that the space heater that was found near her head was up on the counter and that she must have collapsed somehow. But that kind of the fact that there was a pill bottle in her hand and pills all around her painted this image in people's minds. They have now said that those pills were Tylenol and blood pressure medication.
Which would be very hard to over. Well, I mean, if you took enough blood pressure medication, you would lower your blood pressure to a very unhealthy level.
And even then, you wouldn't collapse immediately. So there's something else going on here. They looked into it. They know it's not gas. If it were gas, you also wouldn't collapse immediately. You would start to feel lethargic. You would go lay down.
Could it be carbon monoxide and then one of the dogs opened the door?
They've ruled that out. How does a dog open a door?
Well, Scott, I've seen stranger things happen. I had a dog riding a bench fly into my car. Forgive me.
That's a fair point. We have no ground to stand on when it comes to what dogs can do.
They are German shepherds, and so if they have those fancy schmancy door handles that stick out to
yes.
the side, the dog very well could have opened the door.
Know, one of the
which would have ventilated the property? I mean, we don't know.
One of the theories I heard overnight was that she died first for whatever reason, and he just, you know, either
collapsed.
Had a heart attack or, you know, he's 95 years old. You showed me a picture yesterday. He didn't look well. He was very skinny, almost gaunt. And maybe he succumbed to whatever. But wouldn't you have let the dog out of the crate?
Well, is there if she had passed first, because they've reported that she has mummification to her body, he does not. Or they haven't reported that he does. Now, I feel like if they're reporting that she does, they would also report that he does if he does. That tells me that he does not, right? And so is he having some memory problems? Is there a chance that he was just kind of going through the motions after she had succumbed to whatever she succumbed to?
Here's part of the search warrant that has been filed. It appeared that he, Hackman, fell suddenly, and he and his wife, quote, showed obvious signs of death, end quote. Really? You mean like they weren't breathing?
Well, but, you know, in the police report, it said it looked like she had just collapsed to the point that there was something next to her, like a space heater that had fallen. I wonder if it's just one of these broken heart, one of them dies overnight, and then Mr. Hackman comes in and sees her and collapses, and, you know, we just don't know.
All we can do is guess.
It's just so bizarre.
It is bizarre.
Watch Hoosiers over the weekend. Well, no, one of the best movies of all time.
I'm going Crimson Tide this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
With Denzel.
I got you.
Thank you. Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news, the airing of the grievances. That is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.